This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the Frank Murphy story, or alcoholism and how to beat it. Tonight's guest, ex-drunk, ex-convict Frank Murphy. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. The use of alcohol by drivers and pedestrians leads to some 25,000 deaths and 800,000 accidents in the United States each year, according to the United States Department of Transportation. Arrests for public drunkenness have doubled in 1968 to 1,053 a month. And alcoholism among workers costs American industry an estimated $4 to $6 billion a year. Frank Murphy, in his book, The Frank Murphy Story, whose drinking caused him to spend much of his life in Florida prisons, talks about his rehabilitation and his conquest of alcoholism. Mr. Murphy now channels his efforts towards helping other alcoholics. Mr. Murphy is standing by in Atlanta, Georgia, to answer your questions this evening about alcoholism. Mr. Murphy, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
And thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Mr. Murphy, let's begin our conversation tonight by asking, how can one combat alcoholism?
Well, the only way that I knew or found out about was to go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Can we go briefly into a brief summation of the treatment that is given by the AA?
Well, there's no treatment of any sort. It's more or less a group therapy. It's when a man admits that he is an alcoholic, there are other alcoholics there to show him the way that they went to find sobriety, the way they were taught, and it's one alcoholic teaching another. We've all suffered the same way. And for this reason, we can't help each other.
What is an alcoholic?
An alcoholic is one who's powerless over alcohol and his life is unmanageable.
Maybe talk for a moment about prison, since you spent some time there. What kind of treatment is available for alcoholics in prison?
In any of the prisons I have been in, I have found none. There is no treatment. They just kick a cold. And in most institutions I've been in, alcohol is very free. If you had the money, you could.
You could buy liquor.
Oh, yes, even on Sunday.
Is there any kind of rehabilitation available in the prisons?
I have yet to find any of any kind except the Alcoholics Anonymous program, which may be worked for anybody, no matter whether they're alcoholic, narcotic, stealing hubcaps, whatever their crime may be. They can take that same program and find a way of life.
Well, if there is no set program in the prisons and those who suffer from alcohol are expected to kick it, as you say, just coldly, what is the percentage of returns?
Between 80% and 85% are the recidivists coming back into the prisons. And the alcoholic is never cured. He's in there. In some cases, he doesn't have the money to have it. But the first thing he does when he gets out of prison is go and get a drink, unless he goes to an AA.
Do you see any connection between alcoholism and drug addiction?
Not too much. The alcoholic doesn't seem to go to the drugs, or the drug addict go back to alcohol. There are very few that mix the two.
There seems to be, on two different levels, the treatment of alcohol. If, or an alcoholic, I should say, if a person is of a middle-class standard, being an alcoholic, generally he's treated in some kind of medical way or perhaps a psychological manner. But now, if he is below middle class, there's another kind of treatment. What is the reason for this?
Well, the only reason being that the average community or state does not have the facilities to treat the alcoholic like it should be treated. Alcoholism is a disease, such as cancer or diabetes or anything else, and it must be treated as such. And the only medicine we can find today, after they have got the initial drying
Why has AA been so successful?
Well, I think because we are alcoholics working with alcoholics. The doctors have tried, the psychiatrists, clergy, and they've all failed. In fact, we have members of each group in the AA program who have to come to the Alcoholics Anonymous program to get help from the alcoholic. It takes one who has been down to the depth of the level of loss of self-respect and dignity or such to help each other.
So that there has to be this kind of live or real experience on one hand to be able to understand what the problem is of the new person coming into the program.
Definitely.
And there's no other way.
Well, none has been found. There are other methods that have been tried, but none have been so successful as Alcoholics Anonymous.
Do you view alcoholism as a social problem?
Yes, I do, definitely. You look at your statistics, local or state or national, and it's increasing every year.
What are the various alcohol companies, or I don't know how we should call them, those who are responsible for the manufacture of the spirits, do they do anything in the way of combating or attempting to combat alcoholism?
Yes, they even tried to help the Alcoholics Anonymous program, but that program is self-supporting through its own contribution. But they do have literature and signs that they would not rather not sell to the alcoholic. Most decent bars will not sell to one who is an alcoholic and the bartender spots them. I know of many bartenders, and I know of many liquor store owners who refuse to sell to people who imbibe too much.
Well, doesn't it seem that their program is a bit ambiguous, where if you watch the advertising and if you watch the movies and television, it always seems to be socially acceptable for one to have a drink, and it seems always to appear or appeal to a person on a class basis, and then on the other hand, they attempt to treat or to become involved in the program of moderation. Isn't this a bit ambiguous?
Yes, it is, very much so. But it's big business, and they're out to sell, and they don't care who they sell to. But they do have a sort of cover that they will say, well, we don't want to do this, but they do.
Was there any one particular thing that happened to you that caused you to want to do away with being an alcoholic? Was there one emotional problem that you had or one traumatic experience?
Well, I think not at first, because when I first entered the AA program, and I want to say I entered in prison, tried to use the program for my own advantage, hoping that maybe I would get an early parole, or that I would make trustee and my luck would be a little better. And it was a selfish motive and a con artist motive, so to speak, but it was sort of a reverse psychology that they conned me into the program, because they showed me something in going to these meetings, that there was a way of life that not only would help me with my alcoholism, it would help me with my way of life by showing me a character defect other than alcoholism, which I had and which I became aware of. And I think mostly it taught me the basic thing of self-honesty. And this, I was never self-honest, because you can't be honest with anyone else until you're honest with yourself.
We are greatly concerned about the increase of drugs among the youth of America. Are we also concerned about the increase of alcohol among youth?
I think we're starting to be. I want to say this to anyone who is listening. You must get concerned. Just recently, I was to a hospital in another state and had the opportunity to go into a recreation room where children from the age of about 10 to, I'd say, 19, who had either sniffing glue, alcoholism, speed, any types of acid they took, had just blown their mind, so to speak. And I asked the doctor what the chance of the recovery would be. And he said in some cases there was a chance, but in some others there would be vegetables the rest of their life. And I think it is time that everyone got concerned. We don't get concerned until it happens to us. And I think we better start getting concerned. We have to learn to start with a neighbor on the block. You've got to start to learn to love your neighbor. And we got to stop worrying who your neighbor is, the color of his skin or his nationality or what his religious background is. But as a fellow human being, you must start to care for your neighbor.
This is Night Call in New York, and our conversation tonight, the Frank Murphy story, or Alcoholism and How to Beat It. And our guest tonight is an ex-alcoholic and an ex-convict, Mr. Frank Murphy, calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. And a reminder to our Night Call listeners that the sooner you call in, the sooner that you'll have an opportunity to be heard on Night Call. And if you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling from the West, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. Remember, we welcome your calls collect as well as your conversation. We'll take our first call from New Orleans. Mr. Goodwin is hearing Night Call over WDSU. Mr. Goodwin?
Yes, Mr. Goodwin.
I'm sorry, we have a disconnect on that. All right, just a reminder once again of our telephone numbers in New York. It's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. And on the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. While we're waiting for our next call to come in, Mr. Murphy, let's continue. Do you have any suggestions in terms of programs on the college campuses or perhaps in the high schools?
I do. I think we have to get the teenagers themselves concerned with the problem rather than the adult going in to tell the teenager what to do. I think we must instill in the teenager the responsibility that he has for his fellow teenager and let them work among themselves. I think this can be worked, but when the old goat, so to speak, is coming in to tell them what to do, they're not going to listen. But I think the teenagers or the college students themselves can start their own programs of helping their fellow sufferers in this line much better than we can. I think it's their effort. Someone has to start it. They should start it, and they should carry it out, but not under the direction of anyone but themselves.
Well, what are some of the common reasons for a person becoming involved in becoming an alcoholic?
Well, I think it's a lack of love. It's a lack of someone to express your troubles or to be able to talk to, and we have lost the reason and aren't quite able to talk to the teenagers today because we've got too busy. We're always too busy with our own little social climb, and the mothers are too busy with their clubs, and the teenager ends up just talking to himself or to the wrong one, and they end up having a bottle, or they end up having a little acid party or such as this. They're going to show them. And then each of us, the doctor once told me that everybody's a potential alcoholic, having an X factor in our chemical makeup, which may break down at birth or when you're 10, 15, 60, or 70 years of age, depending on that balance that keeps the alcohol within your body at a neutral level. And when it does break down and is no longer able to function, you become an alcoholic. And it's a very thin line that the day comes you don't realize you've passed it until it's just too late, and then everyone sees it within you, but you don't see it yourself. You're the last to admit it.
We have heard much discussion and read many accounts, many reports about the various areas where human derelicts become involved. In New York, we have the Bowery, and I assume there are other Bowery kind of communities across the nation. And I was just thinking, inasmuch as on the Bowery we have mainly people who are involved as alcoholics, the fact that we allow these kind of areas to exist, is this not giving some kind of approval?
Yes, it is, in a sense. These men are down there, and they arrest them each time they do. If cold weather comes, they say they put them in jail so as to protect them, and then they're back out again. But I think it's a case of rehabilitating the person himself. And we don't try. We just don't try. We figure they're lost. They're down there. They put themselves there. They drank themselves into that condition. But the general public will not believe that this is a disease such as any other that they have no control of. I know I desperately wanted to stop drinking, and I didn't know how. And I've many times wished I could stop. Like people smoking today. They'll smoke and they'll say, I do it myself. I wish I could stop smoking. I stopped drinking a lot easier than I can stop smoking. itself, this will kill you. But I don't think the public is concerned enough yet. But some sections of the country, in Washington, D.C., they've started a program now where they have a court program where the alcoholic is treated as a disease. In the city of Miami, they have a rehabilitation program run by a former inmate of the Florida State Prison System who was in for alcohol, killed, having had an accident, killed two women. This man today is a rehabilitation officer of Dade County, or the city of Miami, and he's doing a marvelous job. People from all over the world are coming to see his program. And it can be started in other cities, but there isn't enough concern yet.
Do you have any statistics on major crimes that are committed by people who are involved with alcohol?
Yes, well, in prison the last 2 years I was there, I had access to quite a few records. And going through these records, we found that between 75 and 80% of all inmates could either be traced directly or indirectly to the use of alcohol or narcotics. That was the reason why they were in prison.
Mr. Murphy, we'll return to calls from our night call listeners and more conversation right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest ex-con, ex-drunk Frank Murphy after station identification.
The year 2000 is a little more than a generation away. For our cities, the question is precisely this. Will the new millennium mark a celebration or a wake? If you think you can sit snug in a suburban split level while the cities slide downhill, you're only kidding yourself. Slums won't stop at the city line any more than commuters do. What happens to our cities happens to our suburbs. Together, we can remake our cities. We will. We must. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest ex-con, ex-drunk Frank Murphy about alcoholism and how to beat it. Call Night Call Collect from the East End Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Frank Murphy, calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. And tonight our conversation is alcoholism and how to beat it. And we'll go out to Omaha, Nebraska. Mrs. Young is hearing Night Call over KBON. Mrs. Young?
Yes.
Good evening.
I was wondering if you'd ask Mr. Murphy why it is that the alcoholic do not take antabuse. I know quite a lot of them and about them, and there are only two that will take it because it is a very drastic drug, but it will keep them from drinking, but they don't like to take it because they fear the consequences. Were you asking that?
Mr. Murphy?
That's very true. We don't recommend that they take antabuse. They don't have to take antabuse, but there's some serious consequences. If they do take it and drink again, they could die.
Mm-hmm.
And the alcoholic is so unpredictable that he may have every intention in the world of not drinking again, but the compulsion would be so great that he would go out and take a drink, and the reaction could be very disastrous.
Well, the one that I know would rather have that.
It's his choice, but if it was mine, I'd rather have the Alcoholics Anonymous program, not only for...
Well, Tita is an alcoholic with the AA, and gets a great deal of pleasure and help from it.
Yes.
But he would rather have the added safeguard of an abuse, and I think she's the only one that takes it in the group.
Well, I don't feel any need for it today, and I hope the day comes that he won't have the need for it.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
This is Night Call in New York, and this time out to Syracuse, New York. Mrs. Johnson is hearing Night Call over WRUN-FM. Mrs. Johnson?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening. I'm sorry.
I was wondering if you could offer any suggestions for people who have alcoholics in their families that don't seem to want to help themselves, if you could suggest anything where the families might be able to help them.
Yes, I could. I would suggest that they go to what they call Al-Anon, which is a organization for the parents or husband or wife of the alcoholic, or Al-Ateen for the children of alcoholics. And I think you could find some help here that would help you better understand the alcoholic and be able to work with them a lot better.
I wonder if, do you suppose this would probably be the most direct way to help them, or if alcoholics that won't help themselves?
Yes, because you must know the alcoholic and what his disease is and what it entails before you can actually help him. And the Al-Anons will tell you how to help him in the best way you can, that may perhaps he'll want to help himself. He or she would rather help themselves later.
How would you find out where?
It would be in any phone book if you would call the Intergroup Office of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're in most phone books.
Oh, I see. All right, well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. To Ironwood, Michigan next, Mr. Pesmar is hearing Night Call of WJMS. Mr. Pesmar? Mr. Pesmer?
No, I'm still here.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
Your question, sir.
I say, I'm still here. When I was in the Seahawks, I used to drink myself one time, and one time, so I know how it is, and I went for myself other things to do, so now I just got nervous, so I don't even work much anymore. And so I think that if a guy could find himself work to do or something, you know, or.
Mr. Pesma, what is happening is your radio is on in the background and you're being a bit confused, so. If you turn your radio down, we would be able to hear you.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, sir.
This is Ed Jessler speaking.
Right, now we can hear you.
I've been listening to you quite often, and I think your program is quite exciting, and when I heard about you talking about this alcoholism, I think it's a good idea, too, if a guy could find himself something else to do. And I know I did, because I...
All right, sir, I'm sorry. Mr. Pesma, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off because your radio is still on and it's difficult for us to hear you. But thank you so much for calling.
I don't even touch nothing no more.
Yeah,
I don't even want to.
Thank you so much, sir. This time out to Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Usher is hearing Night Call of WAOK. Mr. Usher?
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question?
I'd like to know what kind of program do they have for teenage alcoholics?
For teenage alcoholics?
Yes.
There are various groups that they have under 30 years of age, the teenage alcoholic, and you can find this by calling the alcoholic number in your telephone directory, which it is in the Atlanta directory because I looked it up. And they do have Al-Ateen, and they have also the young groups in alcoholics. So call your intergroup office of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they'll give you the address and phone number.
Are you a teenager, sir?
Yes.
Do you know some teenagers who are alcoholics?
Plenty.
How do they become alcoholics?
Sniffing glue and all that.
I beg your pardon?
Started sniffing glue, drinking beer, smoking.
And then getting involved in alcohol. Do they drink, what about wine? Do they drink wine?
Drink all kinds of things.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. All right, sir, thank you so much for calling. Thank you. This time out to Bloomington, Indiana, Mr. Wiglommer is hearing Night Call over WFIU-FM.
Hello, Mr. Murphy?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes, sir.
You always hear about parents introducing alcohol to their children, you know, by the proverbial giving their child a beer at the mealtime, you know. I just wondered, do you have any suggestions on how parents or older people can introduce alcohol properly on a social level, teaching their children how to, you know, handle it?
I wouldn't introduce it too young, but that doesn't mean that every child is an alcoholic.
Yes.
And if you're going to hide it from them and try to tell them that he can never have a drink, you may make an alcoholic out of him by wanting to indulge a little bit more than he should. So I would say that when he's old enough to handle it, as he does the car or other things as that, such as that, I'd let him have a beer at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or something of that sort. And if he could handle that, I wouldn't bother him. But if he couldn't handle it, I'd stop him.
I see. Could you elaborate a little bit on this program for rehabilitation? I've always heard, I'm just curious, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, how it operates.
Well, rather than send a man to prison because of a drunken arrest, he's
yes.
taken into a medical center and given treatment, and he's put into a place where he's dried out. He has helped to get a job. He has helped to go to AA meetings, and it's been compulsory from a lot of the courts.
Doesn't education enter into this problem quite a bit?
Yes.
They more or less teach him?
It's relearning is what it is.
Yes. That's what I was wondering.
Education again.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Murphy, you are not against introducing alcohol to children in the home?
No, I'm not. If they're of age to drive a car, if they're of age to date a girl and go out, and they can drink at the family table and not indulge too much and can handle their drink, I'd say that they are not an alcoholic. And I would rather have my child drink in front of me than be out in some dark road with maybe the wrong stuff to drink.
Well, what is your view about the person who finds the cocktail party a necessity, or the person who finds a necessity of having a cocktail before lunch or before dinner, or the business executive who may have five or six belts a day? Are these people considered alcoholics?
Some are and some aren't. If you can conduct your business and still imbibe, so to speak, and if you're able to manage your life and your business very well, you're not an alcoholic. You may be a heavy drinker. But so long as your life is not unmanageable and you can do a job and you can support your family and pay your bills and things of this sort, I see no wrong in this.
This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, our conversation, alcoholism and how to beat it. And our guest calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, is Mr. Frank Murphy, whose most interesting book is available right now, and it's called The Frank Murphy Story, His Years in Florida Prisons, His Rehabilitation, and His Conquest of Alcoholism. We'll return to our guest following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest ex-con, ex-drunk Frank Murphy after station identification. In our city and our state and all across the United States, people are talking about trouble in our nation. Black and white trouble. Some speak of racial tension. Some say poverty is the real problem. Some say law and order is giving way to anarchy in our streets. About the only thing on which most people agree is that there is a crisis and that we are a people with many unanswered questions. This station believes that you deserve to ask your own questions and get some answers, or at least opinions, from some people who should know what they're talking about. And so we bring you Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show where the public asks their questions and expresses their opinions to guest experts like Julian Bond, John Lindsay, Roy Innes, Joan Baez, and Godfrey Cambridge. Night Call, the nationwide radio forum on important issues facing you and the rest of the nation, each weeknight on this station. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest ex-con, ex-drunk Frank Murphy about alcoholism and how to beat it. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. from the West on area code 212-749-3357, and from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And for the second half hour of Night Call, as we continue with our conversation tonight, alcoholism and how to beat it, and our guest calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, is Mr. Frank Murphy, an ex-alcoholic and an ex-convict, whose very interesting book called The Frank Murphy Story tells of his years in Florida prisons, his rehabilitation, and his conquest of alcoholism. Let's begin this half hour by going first to Lexington, Kentucky. Mr. Cobb is hearing Night Call over WBKY-FM. Mr. Cobb?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, or good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question?
Well, I had several, if I'm permitted.
Well, let's try a few.
Mr. Murphy, I wanted to ask, I know this is at the risk of sounding like a fanatic, I don't know, but I wanted to ask if he knew the Lord, if he knew Jesus in any of his dealings through Alcoholic Anonymous.
Oh, I've learned to believe in the God that I understand, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I just wanted to say, I'm 20 years old, which is pretty inexperienced, and in my junior year in high school, I was pretty involved in alcohol, and I wouldn't be classified as an alcoholic, but I've been working with Christ Center in Lexington, Kentucky. And I've been working with people who are alcoholics. And at one point, you said that you thought, you know, that people were there in the clergy who had failed. And I believe, really, that there is a cure. I mean, you gave the statistics on the return, people who return to alcoholism even after they've been treated with Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, no, I never gave any...
Pardon me?
That was in prison, returning to prison.
Oh, do you have any statistic on people who return to alcoholism? Excuse me, I'm shivering. I'm in an outside phone booth.
No, we don't keep statistics, as you call them, in AA at all. And as to the clergy, I never say they failed. I said they suffered from alcoholism.
Yeah, well, I thought you meant people who were the clergy, some that were clergy who had been alcoholics, right?
Are alcoholics.
Uh-huh. Well, I just wanted to say, see, some of the people I've dealt with, well, for instance, there was this one woman who, her problem was so bad that she had, it was up to the amount of a fifth a day, you know, or more, and just, this was just continuous. She couldn't, it was compulsive with her. And we have found that, and this is no particular religion or any certain denomination or anything, but that we've found that people who really come to know Jesus as a person, most people know about Jesus, but they don't know him as a person. They think of him as the person who walked around in sandals 2,000 years ago. And...
But you're saying that a person who becomes, who increases his religious belief, that this is of a help to him in combating alcoholism?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'll agree with that because the program itself is based on a spiritual foundation.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
See, I didn't want to give the impression that I was condemning Alcoholics Anonymous, that they were on the wrong track or anything. You know, I didn't want to sound like a religious fanatic.
No.
Well, you and Mr. Murphy are not far apart at all. Mr. Murphy has already stated that in his way that he has believed in God, and he felt that this in some way has helped him. So you're not far apart.
Uh-huh. But there's one point, and that is that, you know, there are several reasons, you know, for people becoming alcoholics, like you said, bad homes and lack of love, and but these same reasons lead other people to other outlets, such as suicide or homosexuality or smoking or different things. And I personally do not accept the theory of alcoholism being a disease, such as cancer
Well, you should consult the American Medical Association.
Or tuberculosis. Because I haven't seen the alcoholism germ. And I've seen the cancer germ and the tuberculosis germ. And Furthermore, I believe that, well, such as homosexuality.
Have you seen the germ in that?
No, I haven't, and I don't believe that that's a disease either.
Have you seen the germ of diabetes?
I believe that people who suffer from these things, the only thing that they have failed to do is recognize and admit that these things in their lives are sin, and that they are not a disease.
They are a disease as based on American Medical Association's findings.
Mr. Cobb, I know that you're calling from an outside phone booth, and we don't want you to catch cold, so we want to thank you so very much for calling, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This time out to Stockton, California, Mr. Grant is hearing Night Call over KUOP-FM. Mr. Grant?
Yeah, Mr. Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Hi, are you receiving me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
he can hear you, sir.
Your voice keeps coming back to me broken. I was wanting to make one little contribution, and maybe you could elaborate on it. I belong to AA and have for several years. The big crux of the problem seems to be getting over this decision where the people continue to believe that they're not alcoholics. This has been my experience. And I thought perhaps you might like to comment on those 20 questions, which are phrased very subtly, but yet when you answer all of them, and you don't have to answer them to anybody, you just answer them to yourself, that make a concrete picture of you after you've looked at the 20th question, and they say, if you answer more than 5 of these, you may have a drinking problem, and you've answered 19 yes, and there's some doubt about the 20th. I consider this test, it was in my case, very valuable insofar as helping me to see the light, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. And I think all of us would like to be social drinkers. I don't think any of us wanted to be alcoholics, but we are alcoholics. There are some of us that cannot drink. And it's very true. Alcoholics Anonymous program does give out literature with the 20 questions.
These 20 questions are so handy that, you know, you resist this. Anybody, I think, fights this because there's so much of a stigma here and nobody wants to think they're weak and different and all that. And yet it's delivered with almost no impact whatsoever. Questions like, do you feel your life would be better if you didn't drink? Well, this is easy to take, and you can answer it yes if it gets through that barrier, I think. I thought you might like to explain that just a little bit in the course of your discussions.
Well, every Alcoholics Anonymous group or intergroup office has these questions, and anyone may secure them just by calling or writing a note to General Service, New York, New York, Alcoholics Anonymous. And they
I'm going to have to hang up because your voice is coming to me so broken that I can't hear you.
All right.
So I'm going to sign off.
All right, thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. Mr. Murphy, continue. Mr. Murphy?
Yes?
Yes, you may continue, sir.
Well, anyone can get this information by writing to General Service, Alcoholics Anonymous, New York, New York. And on this is 20 questions, and you answer them yourself. You don't get a correction on this. You can answer them yourself. And if you answer more than 5, as he says, you have a tendency to be an alcoholic, and you ought to go do something about it.
The AA, do they recruit people, or is it a purely a voluntary program?
It's purely a voluntary. We do not recruit. If a woman may have a husband who's an alcoholic and would call for help, we would not go unless the husband wanted our help. If it was vice versa, it would be the same way. We do not ask anyone to come to our meetings. They must want to do something about their problem. Must be sick and tired of being sick and tired, such as I was, and I wanted to do something with my life.
Do you find that people with the alcohol problem, when they visit the AA meeting for the first time, do you have a large or a high percentage of retention for that first trip, or do they have to come back 5 or 6 times before, or a number of times before they make up their mind to become involved?
Oh, I think they come quite a few times. I think the first time they don't get too much unless they're attuned to one certain person who's talking or such. But at the first meeting, they just know that there are people in this world who are willing to help them and help them at any time. And then as they go back to the meetings on a voluntary basis, they find that these people have something that they want. They've found something in this life. And then it becomes a challenge. talents to find out what they have, and they get and eventually end up getting it themselves. But it's a giveaway program. You must help someone else, or you don't retain your own happiness and sobriety. You have to keep working this thing. It's not a thing of just taking out of the program. You must put back into the program by your action, helping the fellow drunk, helping the next one who may need the help.
We'll go out to Omaha, Nebraska for our next Night Call listener. Mr. Carlisle is hearing Night Call over KBON. Mr. Carlisle?
Yes, hello.
Good evening, sir. Your question?
My first question is this. You as an alcoholic, you say that could you ever go back and take another drink?
No, sir, I cannot take another drink.
Then it is a complete disease.
Is this right? It's a complete disease. I can never take one drink.
And walk away from it?
No, sir.
If you ever took the first one, then you'd have to have the next one.
Well, it sets up a compulsion of the body and the obsession of the mind that with the alcoholic that we just do. One is too many and the world of full isn't enough.
Well, then answer this for me. I've known people in my life that were alcoholics. And then the person I'm thinking of owned a bar.
Yeah.
And he never drank in the bar. He never drank beer or the whiskey or wine. But he had near beer. And he drank a lot of this. But he never drank the beer. Or is this a way of...
No.
Making up for it, or what is it?
No, you can't drink any beer. Anything containing alcohol, we cannot drink.
Well, near beer don't. Near beer doesn't have alcoholic content in it, right?
Well, if it doesn't have an alcoholic content, he can drink all of that he wants if he just wants a taste of something.
Well, this is what he did. He did it for the taste of beer.
Yes.
Because he liked the taste of beer.
So long as he didn't have the alcoholic content, it wouldn't hurt him. There's many of these new champagnes they put on the market, non-alcoholic. But I wouldn't recommend the alcoholic drinking. I mean, he'd get his mind mixed up or his drinks mixed up in time.
Then you're saying that a man that once he becomes an alcoholic can never go back to drink?
That's right. That's my belief.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. Mrs. Butcher is hearing Night Call over WFLA, and she's calling in from Clearwater, Florida. Mrs. Butcher?
Hello, Frank.
Good evening, Miss Butcher.
I haven't bought my book yet. But I've read it, and I want everyone to know how great it is. And you answered the question about once you're an alcoholic, you're always one.
Yes,
ma'am. To that last fellow. And I really wanted you to know I stayed up just to listen to you.
Well, thank you very much.
And it's nice and cool down here, and have a nice trip home.
Thank you
I'm
again.
I'm enjoying the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, ma'am. This is Night Call in New York, the Frank Murphy story, or Alcoholism and How to Beat It. Our guest calling in is Mr. Murphy. He's calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, and his new book is called A Frank Murphy Story, His Years in Florida Prisons, His Rehabilitation, and His Conquest of Alcoholism, and certainly a suggested book to all of our Night Call listeners. We'll continue with more Night Calls and more conversation with our guests right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest, ex-con, ex-drunk Frank Murphy, after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, Catholics and birth control, and how much prudence a Catholic reporter must use in his coverage of dissent in the church to stay within the recent papal charge that prudence must be used in reporting serious points of doctrine and discipline. Our guest, editor Robert Hoyt of the controversial weekly National Catholic Reporter newspaper. Less than 2 months ago, the Bishop of Kansas City accused the reporter of having turned itself into a platform for the airing of heretical views. Editor Hoyt called this a prime example of authoritative attitude in the church, which his paper opposes. Catholics and birth control and the responsibility of Catholic newsmen to report dissent in the church. With editor Robert Hoyt of the National Catholic Reporter, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for Yourself Collect from anywhere in North America to guest ex-con, ex-drunk Frank Murphy about alcoholism and how to beat it. All Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And continuing with our conversation tonight on alcoholism with our guest, Mr. Frank Murphy, calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. This time out to Indianapolis, Indiana, Mr. Hickman is hearing Night Call over WTLC. Mr. Hickman?
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Murphy, does the alcoholic have to experience any important changes in his relationship with the people he thinks a lot of?
Well, it depends on who the people are you think a lot of. People the alcoholic's been drinking with, yes, he's got to forget those people. You've got to change your life. You've got to change your friends.
How about the relationship with the wife?
I think the wife should go to Al-Anon if the husband is willing to go to AA. I think she can get a better understanding of the husband.
I see.
And if there's children, they should go to Alateen, and they will understand the parent much better and will realize that the disease he is suffering from is a disease and can be arrested but never cured.
I see. Well, are there any studies that show that a wife may undermine for some psychological reason on her part the cure of an alcoholic husband?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, indeed.
I see.
You're not alone.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, sir. Mr. Murphy, in our discussion of alcoholism, we are always under the impression that most people who are involved with alcohol are those who we see staggering down the streets, or those we see who become the life of the party and the human derelicts who make up the population of the various breweries around the world, or around the country, I should say. But attention now is being focused on many of the business executives who are involved in positions of making tremendous decisions and decisions that where millions of dollars will weigh one way or the other, depending upon how they're going to launch their particular idea. And I was wondering if you'd like to go into that area for just a bit.
Yes, I would. This is a misconception that I had myself, as well as many other alcoholics, and that sort of holds us back from going into AA at times. Or I would have gone in many years ago, but I felt that this was a place of the Skid Row bum, the fellow that hit the gutter down in the Skid Rows. And when I did get into AA and went to the meetings, I found out that I was entirely wrong. Here I met doctors, lawyers, engineers. I've met people of every walk of life, generals of the service, active and inactive, majors, colonels and all, school teachers. It didn't make any difference. And it wasn't of the low mentality. It was the high and middle and low mixed together, but the majority seemed to be a high intelligence, and these are the hardest people to come to grips with themselves and to admit that they are alcoholic. And if you ever have a doubt about your government officials, go in through the Mayflower Hotel one day during lunch hour while your Senate and Congress is in session, and you'll wonder how our laws are made sometimes with the amount of liquor that is consumed at the luncheons such, and the state of inebriation some of our respected citizens and senators and such are in. And this is quite shocking. And it is true that it's just late that business has made it mandatory when their executives are in trouble. But I would also like to say that I held responsible jobs, and I never once had any trouble with my jobs, even though I was an alcoholic. I've been asked many times to stop down and hold down my drinking, but I didn't do it, and as a result, I was demoted or asked to leave. And this is what is happening in the industry today. Rather than lose the good men they have, they're doing something about them and getting into AA.
Is it true that a number of large corporations are setting up various programs to study alcoholism?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And they have already instituted into the major industries alcoholic rehabilitation officers who you may go see if you have a problem. And your deportment on the job, the foreman or your supervisor makes out a report, and on it, do you think this man drinks too much or such of these remarks? Missing work on Mondays is a habitual thing. You see it every Monday, they can't quite make it. Or missing work periodically, 2 or 3 days at a time, which is a periodic drunk, who can go without liquor for maybe 6 weeks and will go on a binge for 2 weeks. And he's the alcoholic. So business is finding this out, and they're trying to reclaim this talent, because it is good talent. The alcoholic is quite an intelligent person. Now, I'm not blowing the horn, but we found this to be very true. And quite a good worker.
We'll take our next call from Alliance, Ohio. Mr. Kuhns is hearing Night Call over WFAH. Mr. Kuhns?
Hello, Mr. Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Jim Kuhns, and I'm a member of AA.
Yes, sir.
11 years ago, this month, I was 23 years old and decided I had a problem. Well, I was in AA several times, and the most I ever stayed sober was 8 months. Well, now, recently, I'm starting back again, and it just seems to me it must be that I want it, or else I wouldn't come back.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, how does hope ever die? I mean, the guys ever make it like me that's been in and out of the program so many times?
Well, as you know, having been in AA, we each have a sponsor.
Yes.
And I would like to tell you of my sponsor, who was in and out of AA many, many times, and that had the same thoughts you are having right now. Will I make it? And he finally came to the day that he did make it, and he's been sober a good many years today. You too will be that way. You have some conflict that you're fighting there, but try working that program a little harder. Try doing your 12-step work a little more. Get around to more meetings. Go to every night if you have to for a while. And just get active, and you won't have time to worry whether you're going to take another drink again.
Well, I started AA in Clearwater, Florida, too. I just heard the lady call from there.
Yes.
And I have a lot of friends there. AA is a wonderful way of life. And I really hope and pray that, you know, that I want to do it.
Well, let me ask you, where were you the happiest, in AA or out?
Oh, definitely in AA.
Well, get back.
Everything I have is, you know, was in AA.
Get back in and work harder this trip.
Okay, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes,
to Providence, Rhode Island next, Mr. Lebby is hearing Night Call over WLKW-FM. Mr. Lebby?
Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My question was, you mentioned the spiritual aspect of AA. I was wondering, is it necessary for an individual just to admit the fact that he is an alcoholic in order to overcome this problem, or is it necessary for the psychological problems to be discussed and the various psychological conflicts to be worked out?
No, this is something that you yourself will work out in time. Admitting is the first step, and the spiritual foundation, or looking for a power greater than ourselves, could be the lamp in the room, or it could be a being or a supreme being or God, as I like to understand it. But you can be an agnostic or an atheist and be an AA.
Isn't it necessary, though, to eliminate the psychological conflict which created this disease, basically, before you can just get up and say, well, okay, I'm an alcoholic and now I'm going to beat it?
Well, there's a lot of people that don't get up and say, I'm an alcoholic for a long, long time. But they come to the AA meetings and they find that they don't have to analyze this program, but they utilize it. And by utilizing the program, their conflict seems to diminish.
Well, fine. I appreciate it very much, and good luck to you. Continue good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling, sir. In doing some of our research, Mr. Murphy, we've come up with some rather interesting statistics, and one I would like some elaboration on from you, that 66% of the nation's 5,800 general hospitals do not admit patients with a diagnosis of alcoholism.
That's very true. I'd like to tell you this, that I've been on 12-step work, and I have picked up a phone to call doctors, medical doctors, and I will make the call, and I would say, doctor, I'd like to bring a patient to you who is suffering from alcoholism to get shots and such, and if they don't bother me, I don't handle them, I don't want them. But I will say for every one of those, there is another one who will do it, is a percentage, a high percentage of hospitals that will not take alcoholics. Blue Cross and Blue Shield today accept them and their policies today because they recognize it as a disease and a suffering disease. So I think it's just a matter of education, and we are getting to them one by one. We aren't very old. We're only 33 years old. The whole organization, which was started with two men and is now over a half million members, known members. And for this reason, I say we're slow, but we're getting there.
Is there a cost to join AA?
There is no dues or fees for the organization of any kind. We pay that fee before we ever enter by the heartaches, the sorrow, and the money we spent for all the drinks we drank.
We'll take our next call from New York. Mrs. Cutchins is hearing Night Call of WLIB-FM. Mrs. Cutchins?
Yes. I would like to ask him, would he consider someone that only drinks when he has money problems or family life problems, an alcoholic, or would he consider him just someone that needs to see a psychiatrist?
Well, does he drink?
Yes.
And is it because of his drinking that he has money problems?
No.
Well, then, no, I wouldn't necessarily say that he's an alcoholic. I could not say anyone's an alcoholic. Only that person could say he's the alcoholic. I could say he's having trouble if I knew he drank and he missed his work and he didn't pay his bills. His life is a little unmanageable. And I could say, you've got some trouble, you ought to do something about it. But for me to say you're an alcoholic, I could never say that to anyone but to myself.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Once again, in our statistics, it's rather shocking to find that 25,000 deaths and 800,000 crashes are due to drinking drivers and pedestrians each year in the United States. Is that figure a figure that remains constant, or is it a figure that's on the increase, Mr. Murphy?
It's a figure that's on the increase because nothing is being done about it. The only thing they're doing to the drunken driver is to fine him or put him in jail temporarily or to take his license away for a period of time. They are not looking into the cause and effect, or the court is not setting up programs where this man can be treated for this. And under the jurisdiction of the court, except in some places, as I say, that have started these programs, but they are very few. And this is what society has to do, is get into the courts and see that the programs are started and that the man is treated for the disease he's suffering from. And we can reduce this number.
Mr. Murphy, we want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
My pleasure.
Thank you so very much. Tonight on Night Call, Alcoholism and How to Beat It, the Frank Murphy Story. And our guest calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, was Mr. Frank Murphy, whose new book is called The Frank Murphy Story, his years in Florida prisons, his rehabilitation, and his conquest of alcoholism. This is Darryl Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Catholics and Birth Control, with editor Robert Hoyt of the controversial National Catholic Reporter. Listen tomorrow night, discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.